Hello there. Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing this morning? Thanks, Matt. So, as Jacinta mentioned earlier, we're in a new series. And we're looking at blockbuster hits. We started on New Year's Day with Escape from Alcatraz, looking at Paul and Silas in prison from Acts chapter 16. And last week we had Rocky, Elijah at Mount Carmel. Look at that. I don't think we got to see that last week. So let's just really appreciate Rocky. but yeah, what a great message. Elijah at Mount Carmel. Now, when I first got the email about the new roster and read that the theme was at the movies, I got a little bit excited. I like movies. I thought, wow, this will be cool. I wonder what movie I will have. And upon opening the roster, my excitement dropped just a little. Reading the titles of the movies, I realised, firstly, that there were no chick flicks. Oh, devastated. Come on, Pastor Matt. What's the go? Maybe they just don't quite have the depth and drama that we're looking for. And second, I realise that there are none on that list that I have seen. And then as I look for my name, I see the word Star Wars next to it. Ooh, yeah. Wow. I think, wow, thanks, Matt. Arguably one of the biggest movie franchises or media franchises. And I know that we have some members of our church who are very knowledgeable of Star Wars, who I'm sure will come and see me afterwards if I get some details wrong. Please feel free. Which I no doubt will. And I probably won't cover off on everything because there's a lot to it. But putting all that aside, I think we all know that we're not here to talk about a movie. Not really. What we are here for is to get into the Word. And if we can use a movie to help illustrate and better understand something that God has shared with us through His Word, then hopefully you can forgive me if I get a few bits of the movie wrong. After all, I'm still a Padawan when it comes to preaching. Now, just a little disclaimer, I have since watched 4. So the prequels and episode 4. So, and prior to that, I had watched some of the newer bits and pieces too and some of the TV series and things. So there's a little bit of knowledge there, but not a whole lot. So hands up, who here has seen Star Wars, whether it's one or two of the movies, all of them, multiple times? Okay, it's quite a few hands. That's good. But there's a few that haven't. So just putting it out there from the start, there could be a spoiler alert throughout a little bit of this. But I'm sure that most of us here are at least a little bit familiar with some of the characters and the general gist of the story. But really, I'll only be covering a few details, not all of the movies and not each of the characters. We'd be here all day. So I still recommend watching it if you haven't yet. So Star Wars is a battle between light and dark. The light side trying to bring peace while the dark side seek endless power and dominance over the universe. We learn about the Jedi, who are the good guys. They are guardians of peace and justice, able to wield a lightsaber and attuned to the power of the Force, an energy that connects all living things. I did think about getting a lightsaber just to wave around and add a little bit of drama and things to it, but we'll save that for another time. Early on in the story, we meet a slave boy named Anakin and a couple of Jedi, one being Obi-Wan Kenobi, take him under their wing to train him. Some believe Anakin may be the chosen one who is to bring balance to the galaxy. Obi-Wan takes Anakin on as his Padawan, trains him to be a Jedi. Anakin does in fact become a Jedi and trains quickly. He's very skilled and deemed a hero. Some say with no fear. He's an excellent Jedi. However, as the story unfolds, we pick up along the way that he does have fear. He has fear of losing those he loves, which impacts his ability to fully accept or commit to the Jedi way. Part of being a Jedi, I believe, is having no attachments. So, you know, we know that when we're attached and when we form strong bonds, our view of things can be tainted. Our decisions can be influenced not just by what we believe is right, but for the better of that person or that thing that we are attached to. Anakin, he holds on to things of the past and he seeks revenge when he feels he or someone that he cares about has been wronged. He shows traits of being selfish, fearful, and holding those attachments that we mentioned before. Because of this, he makes some poor choices, which opens himself up to the evil schemes of Emperor Palpatine, who we soon discover is also the evil Darth Sidious. Palpatine manipulates those around him to get into a position of power and uses the dark side of the Force to train his own apprentices. Once he discovers Anakin's weakness, his fears, and he deceives Anakin by convincing him that the dark side can give him ultimate power to defeat or prevent death, Anakin joins Palpatine, or Darth Sidious, helps him to slaughter nearly all of the Jedi, loses those he is most closest to, including his secret wife, who is pregnant with the twins, Luke and Leia, resulting in Anakin becoming Darth Vader. Now, at this point, in my very brief overview, we're up to the end of Episode 3, the prequels, and the biggest story goes on from there. But that's where I'm going to hit the pause button and get back to the real story. You know, this is not too different from life on Earth. We know that we face a battle between light and darkness, good versus evil. There is spiritual warfare that we face individually as well as within the body of Christ. We read in Ephesians 6 verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." John 10:10 also says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The thief or the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Also worded, it could be, he comes to deceive, to divide, and destroy. He deceives when we do not hold firmly to our identity in Christ. We can be deceived to believe all sorts of lies. Maybe we're not old enough to be in ministry. Maybe we're not young enough to get involved in youth group, which is a lie. We're not pretty enough. We're not skinny enough. We're not muscly enough. We're not knowledgeable enough. The list goes on. Deception. He divides. If we listen to the lies of those lies of the devil, this can distract and separate us from our family and our friends and support. But more importantly, it can separate us from God, from the Holy Spirit. Separating us from God weakens us. And how does this happen? While we're distracted with eating this, gymming there, buying this, working there, making money, busy doing all the things, we find ourselves with little time and little concern with spending time with God. Our attention and our focus has been divided. The devil destroys. Once we're separated or divided, we no longer have unity in the body. Now, this is covered in Ephesians 4. So, how do we fight against the devil's schemes? Against his lies, his deception, and his destruction. A few months ago, we did a series called Walking in Victory, where we looked at the book of Ephesians. And as we unpacked that, we looked at chapters 1 to 3, which were Christ working in us. That's our training ground. It's changing us, shaping us, his redemptive love and salvation for us. Like Padawans, we train to become Christ-like. Then in chapters 4 to 6, they're about God working through us, how we are to behave, act and interact as children of God, walking in the light, living Christ-like, being Christ-like, evidence of who and whose we are. You know, really the whole Bible gives us the rule book on the way on becoming like Christ. So how then do we remain in him? In John 15:4 it says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." I liken this to the Force. You need the Jedi need to be familiar with the Force, need to be remaining in it, be using it and familiar with the Force in order to grow stronger in it. So too do we need to remain connected, remain in Christ, remain in the power of the Holy Spirit and using the power of the Holy Spirit to be strengthened and produce the fruit. So again I ask, how do we fight against the devil's schemes? Our answer is in Ephesians 6. And as I mentioned, we did cover off on Ephesians, and so there are some parts that I may not delve into fully this morning. But I encourage you to go back. Steve spoke on Ephesians 6 last year, so please have another listen of that. And just to sort of sidetrack for a moment, like how good is it to have that library of information where, you know, we can go back at any time and revisit, hear things. We don't have to cover off on the same topics, but we can rehash, we can go over new parts of it. But we can go back. It's not just for those who maybe missed that Sunday or who are visiting or, you know, and that kind of thing. It is for us to go back. Just as we go back into the Word, we reread things, we can re-listen and hear from the Lord. So Ephesians 6 is our answer to fighting against the devil's schemes. If you have your Bible, I do encourage you to turn to Ephesians 6. I do have some of the verses, but not until further on. So we're going to start at the start. We fight against the devil's schemes by being sure of our identity. Ephesians 6 verse 1 to 4, which I don't have in my notes. Says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Do you know, Anakin had no father. He and his mother were slaves. His identity was wrapped up in being a slave, in being protector of his mother. Also, you know, he was labelled as possibly the chosen one. That kind of pressure and that kind of label and those labels that we place on ourselves shape who we are and what we do and how we act. Anakin's desire to be a Jedi, but with no real knowledge of what that meant because he didn't have a father to train him up. All he had was the awe and inspiration of seeing them like a hero who defeats the bad guys. The Jedi way consisted of training, raising the younglings from infants so that it was all they knew. Their identity wasn't compromised, by their circumstances as they grew up. Anakin, however, was brought in at a much older age, already a boy, already shaped by the world. When we have unclear identity or unclear purpose, it distorts our decision making and clouds our judgment. Do we know who we are? Do we know whose we are? We are children of God, heirs in the salvation that only comes through him. In 1 John 1 verse 5, it says that God is light and in him there is no darkness. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. And this isn't just for children, like, you know, for young little kids. Each of us are children and we need to obey our Heavenly Father. If you reject the discipline and instruction of your parents, you won't learn to live and you won't have a good long life. not because your parents are geniuses with all the answers, but because your obedience to parents is training for obedience to Christ. And if you can't obey Christ, you will not have a good life. God calls young children to obey as a way of honouring, because it's training for the future. The second step of defeating the devil's schemes is obedience, as I've just touched on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9 talks about slaves and masters. Anakin grew up a slave, his mother also a slave, and unfortunately he did not have a good master. So he lacked good role models and did not learn to respect authority. You know, this also ties in with our identity. It shaped who Anakin was. He was so desperate to become a Jedi because he thought that that would solve all his problems. He thought that he would no longer be a slave, no longer have a master. So when he becomes a Jedi and finds out that there are rules and expectations and Jedi masters, he has another hurdle to overcome. He sees himself still with a slave mindset. But instead of accepting that his Jedi masters were training him for his good, to achieve his purpose, he saw it as another master trying to control him. Verse 5 in Ephesians 6 says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ." You know, Anakin made poor choices when the Jedi masters were not around. He had not yet taken on the heart or the ways of the Jedi, and he was still ruled by his own desires of what he felt was right. You know, we all have a master in our lives. Anakin's master was his self, seeking control and power over his life. A Jedi's master is the Force, and the Force connects all living things. The Force is for the good of all, not self. I want to ask you this morning, who are you obedient to? There is a verse that I don't have here, and maybe someone who knows their Bible can recall it for me, but it's the verse about you cannot serve two masters. You know, Anakin, with his attachment issues, the Jedi, as we mentioned before, weren't allowed to have attachments. We as Christians can't allow our attachments to earthly things, our possessions, our titles, and even people. We can't allow that to be greater than our attachment to our Heavenly Father and Saviour. We need to love the people around us, of course, and enjoy our time on earth. But we can't let earth be our master. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." In Matthew chapter 6, we also read, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What you give your attention to is where your heart is, where your decisions will come from. Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." Our treasure, our attachments must be in heaven, and our focus and our hearts must be heaven-focused. We need to be obedient to Christ, and it's all about the choices we make. Which master are we obedient to? The thoughts, the direction, and the power goes to wherever and whatever we focus on. Make sure your master and your focus is on God. The third step in fighting against the devil's schemes is armour. Placing on the armour of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20, we'll just start with there, says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be filled with strength from the Lord. Remember, it is through his power that we were created. It is through his power that we were saved. And so we have a good case to stand firm and believe that it is in his power that we conquer whatever schemes and evil comes our way." Verse 11, "Put on the full armour of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes." Verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not here in the physical. So why would we allow ourselves to get caught up in the troubles of the physical world or the lies that the devil tries to distract us with? Remember, be heaven-focused and you will not be divided. There are spiritual forces of evil, but good news, we have the greatest weapon, the greatest force to use against evil. So what do we need to be equipped with? Verse 13, therefore take up the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground and having done everything to stand. We need the full armour. It's no point having bits and pieces because guess what? If you have something missing, where do you think the devil is going to strike first? Stand your ground, having done everything to stand. We cannot stand our ground if we first haven't steadied and readied ourselves. If I'm standing around after church, chatting with friends, and someone runs up and bumps into me, or maybe tries to jump and take a specky or something, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm going to fall down. That's right, because I'm not ready for it. I'm not expecting that. Not here, as we're, you know, having our coffee. Hopefully I don't spill my coffee if that happens. If I'm not ready for it, I will fall down because I'm not ready for it. We already know that there's a battle going on, so we need to be ready and standing firm, prepared for it. You know, then we probably shouldn't be surprised if we're not ready and we get knocked down. Verse 14 and 15 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness arrayed, and with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. The belt of truth tucks in clothing so that it stays out of the way. It also holds tools and weapons. The belt of truth holds it all together. Without the truth of the word of God, we're going to struggle to hold it all together. The belt is around the waist. The waist area is our core. The truth needs to be at the core of who we are and what we do. Comes back to our identity. The breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate covers and protects some of our most vital parts of the body. In particular, the heart. We need to protect our hearts with the righteousness of God. And what does the Bible say about this? We read before in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Also Proverbs 21 verse 21, whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity and honour. It's no wonder we need righteousness to protect our heart. On our feet, the gospel of peace. The word for readiness is hetoimasia. Got that one. Its definition is preparation, foundation, firm footing, preparation and readiness. Peace needs to be the very thing we plant ourselves on. We need to stand firm on the foundation of peace. And then what do we do once we have those shoes on? We walk. When we stand on a foundation of peace, we can then walk in peace. Peace does not mean that we do not fight or take part in the battle. It simply means that when we have the foundation of peace, we cannot be shaken by the worries and troubles of the battle. Regardless of how powerful the rest of your body is, if you are wounded in your feet, you are easy prey for the enemy. Keep hold. Keep those shoes of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all of this, or in some versions it says, above all, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith, which Steve did touch on in the last bit, but I couldn't not look at it. The Roman soldier's shield would take up about 3/4 of his body and could also be used as a stretcher to help carry the wounded, which is a great metaphor for our faith. the impact of our faith on those around us. Like the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof. And he's the faith of his friends to do that for him. Or the centurion whose servant was healed by Jesus just saying the word. But the real strength of the shield was when the soldiers joined together. The shields linked up, creating a metal wall, which is greater protection. This is what happens when we join together. In the body of Christ, we come together, we bring our faith, we share our testimonies, we protect one another, walking by faith because our shields are together and we are not alone. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need to be in those close quarters so that our shields link up together. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation, you know, we've kind of touched on this already, but the mind and the heart are connected. If we have righteousness protecting our heart, it should help us in making better choices. A helmet of salvation protects the mind from the schemes of the devil and the lies of the world. When we are sure of our salvation, our mind is set on things above. It is another defense that the devil cannot break through. The helmet of salvation protects us from discouragement, against the desire to give up, giving us hope not only in knowing that we are saved, but that we will be saved. It is the assurance that God will triumph. Colossians 3 verses 1 to 2 says, therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, strive for the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Keep that helmet of salvation. And our sword of the Spirit. Is a soldier really a soldier without their weapon? A Jedi is recognized by the lightsaber. To quote Obi-Wan in episode 2, he's returning Anakin's saber to him, which he dropped in, I think, chasing one of the bad guys, we'll say. I'm really going to have a few people coming up to me after this. So he's returning Anakin's saber and he says, this weapon is your life. This weapon is your life, church. The same goes for us. We cannot go into battle without our sword, the word. The sword is both a defensive tool as well as a weapon of attack. We need it in hand or in our mind at all times. If you can, start your day in the Word, even if it's reading just one verse. Memorize verses. Read scripture to your kids or grandkids. The more we practice using the sword, the more skilled of a soldier we can be. The sword was kept or held in the belt. We need to keep our sword in the belt of truth so that we can know the truth when the devil tries to use the word against us. It's even more important in times like we're living right now, where truth seems to be skewed. We need to stand firm, hold on to that sword of the Spirit, but hold it in the truth. Just like when Jesus was tested in the desert in Matthew 4, he used scripture to overcome the devil. Don't underestimate the power of memorizing verses in scripture. You know, we sometimes joke at home, Caleb and I, when verses come up that are from Colin Buchanan songs. Because as soon as someone says, you know, we all like sheep have gone astray, everyone's thinking, I don't want to say that into the mic, and all those little things like that. There's so many, but how great that is ingrained. Anyone, who grew up with Colin Buchanan, memorised the songs? Yeah, good show of hands, that's great. Keep listening to them. Keep listening to songs that quote scripture. Keep worshipping. You know, worship is full of scripture. It may not have the book and the verse there, but you can find that. That's what Google's for. Singing praises, worship, being in the Word, know the Word. That is how we overcome the devil's schemes. And the last point is to pray in the Spirit at all times, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will boldly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it fearlessly as I should. You know, when we pray, we need to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the Force. In order to use the Force, Jedi had to know about it. They had to practice using it, test its boundaries, and know their own limitations. But for us, accessing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has no boundaries. We are limited only by ourselves and what we choose to access. To pray in the Holy Spirit is to pray with a conscious awareness of God's presence surrounding us and sanctifying both us and our prayer. The Holy Spirit allows us to pray in the will of the Father. Otherwise, our prayers could be selfish and out of the will of God. When we pray, we must ensure that we are under his guidance and influence, under his energy and power, and also that we seek and ask his help as we approach the throne of grace. Praying in the Spirit acknowledges that we offer our bodies as an unbroken, living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Romans 12:1. Since they are the residence of the Holy Spirit, our bodies are the Holy Spirit, so we need to present ourselves as that living sacrifice. Pray in your authority as a believer in the finished works of Christ. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are praying in our secure position, our identity as the heir of God's inheritance. Comes back to that again. Know whose you are. Pray with perseverance and supplication. Perseverance comes back to obedience. There will be times that you don't want to keep going, that it may feel pointless because we can't see any change. We can't see God moving, but that doesn't mean he isn't. Be obedient in what you've been trained to do. Pray, stand firm, put on the armor and fight the spiritual battle. Spiritual warfare is not flesh and blood. It's not in the physical. For most of us, it is a battle of the mind. We're all going to face something. Let's be real for a moment and ask ourselves, am I living in my true identity in Christ? Am I living an obedient life with God as my master, not myself? Do I have the armor to face whatever the battle may be and come out on top? Which areas am I lacking in, and which areas do I need to seek training and guidance? Church, as we wrap up today and as we reflect on those questions, let's make a plan to seek out that training. Let's put into action the things we know that we need to implement or change. If we are feeling like we're lacking peace, let's come back and put on those shoes of peace. If we're feeling like we're getting attacked from all sides, let's bring out that shield of faith. Gather people around you, gather in the body of Christ, and let's all put up our shield of faith. If we're feeling attacked in our heart or our mind, let's get that, make sure that breastplate of righteousness and that helmet of salvation is securely fastened. And if we're beginning to doubt and question whose we are, let's remember that we have the belt of truth. We know whose we are. And never forget to hold on to that sword. Keep it with you at all times, in your heart and in your mind. Be praying in the Spirit. Get connected with the Force of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Church.